I want to anchor today's message in the prophetic word released by Reverend Celia Apiaje last month, November, in our church in one of the services here. I believe this word wasn't just spoken over us, it was spoken into us, into our DNA, into our future, and into what God is about to do in Cornerstone. She said this, "I know something is happening in this place because your sound has changed. When God is on the move, one of the things that happens is the sound of the people changes. There is such a liberty in this house. More people are putting up their hands, responding to the Lord, and their hearts are open." She said this, "Cornerstone is postured for something greater." And I keep hearing the word rumbling. It's like before an avalanche happens, there is a rumbling sound, and I'm hearing this rumbling in this house. I see you're also expanding into a new facility, and I'm excited for all that God has in store for you. But one thing is for sure, we can't go into our future with the same mindset, with the same posture. We're going to have to raise the stakes, shift some gears, and get our spiritual engines fired up, because God is accelerating something in this church. He's enlarging our capacity. He's stretching our faith. He's awakening a church, and that is us, that refuses to remain passive. A rumbling in the spirit means heaven is moving. A change in our sound means the season is shifting. A prophetic word means God is inviting us to step into his divine alignment. There is a new sound for a new season that's coming out from Cornerstone, Katong, and Orchard. And so let's get ready for what God is about to do. Amen. And God, who changes the sound in this house, is about to release a new sound into your life. And I'm going to speak that over you this morning. So what sound are you carrying? Because every sound flows from a name. There are names we carry every day. Names that identify us, names that describe us, names that shape us, and sometimes even cancel us. And then there are names we never look for, but we have learned to live with. Fear, anxiety, depression, failure, not good enough. But we don't have to answer to those names anymore, because a greater name stepped into our lives. A name that silences the voices around us and strengthens the voice within us. A name that doesn't just describe us, but delivers us. A name that doesn't just identify us, but transforms us. And that name is Jesus. There's no other name that carries both love and authority in the same breath. No other name that comforts the broken and commands darkness to flee. No other name that reaches into the lowest valley and rules from the highest throne. When we speak his name, atmospheres shift. Fear loosens, chains are broken, and the impossible begins to bow. And so today we're not learning a new phrase. We are rediscovering the weight, the wonder, and the power carried in the name of Jesus that is above every other name. In fact, Philippians chapter 2 declares that heaven, earth, and hell must respond when this name is spoken. And so the message today is titled, "I Speak Jesus." Because for many believers, Jesus is a familiar sound, but an unfamiliar revelation. We sing it, we pray it, we even preach about it. But do we truly understand what we are releasing? Because when I say, "I speak Jesus," I'm not talking about a Christian slogan. I'm talking about a spiritual posture, a confession, a holy dependence. It's a way of life. His name is not a lyric that we sing. It is a reality we stand on. His name is not an accessory we wear, but a foundation we build on. When you speak Jesus Christ, you're not just saying a name. You are declaring that the kingdom of God has arrived. In fact, Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, "The kingdom of God is at hand." You see, the kingdom of this world, in this kingdom of this world, sickness has authority, disease dictates the outcome, doctors diagnose, statistics define, and prognosis sets the expectations. But when the kingdom of God breaks in, the rules change. What once dominated is now confronted by a higher authority. What once seemed final becomes subject to heavenly interruptions. Jesus didn't just preach the kingdom, he demonstrated it. When the kingdom arrives, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, The diseased are cleansed, the oppressed are set free, and even death gives way. Miracle signs and wonders are not for show. They are announcements that heaven is invading earth. So is it any wonder that the world tries to profane and reduce the name of Jesus to a swear word? Why this name and not others? Because the devil attacks what he fears, and there's only one name that he trembles at, and that is the name of Jesus Christ, because it carries authority hell cannot imitate, and glory darkness cannot withstand. And if this name carries such power, then we must truly understand what it means to us. So let's begin with the first name, Jesus, the God who saves completely. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 tells us that, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now we know Jesus means Savior, and the word scripture uses for saved or salvation comes from the Greek word sozo. We know forgiveness is central, but salvation or sozo means more than just forgiven. Right across the New Testament, sozo means forgiveness of sins and healing and deliverance and rescue and restoration and wholeness. So salvation in Jesus is not just being saved from hell and you're going to heaven. God is restoring what sin destroyed when you are saved. Too many believers live forgiven, but they are not restored. They live saved, but still bound. They are rescued, but still broken. But Jesus does not save partially. He saves completely. And so when we speak the name of Jesus over you, we are declaring salvation for the sinner, healing for the body, peace for the mind, freedom for the spirit, restoration for the soul, deliverance from bondage, protection from attack, and wholeness in every part of your life. Amen. So stop settling for partial salvation and step into the complete wholeness that Jesus has for you. And not only that, sozo is not only what God did, it is what God is still doing today. Because we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. That's glorification. All of it contained within that one name, Jesus. Now, salvation doesn't end with being restored. It begins with being commissioned by the Lord. That's why Scripture doesn't stop at Jesus, Savior. It introduces Him also as Christ, the God who anoints and the God who empowers. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The word Christ is not Jesus' surname. That is His title. It comes from the Greek word Christos, which means the anointed one. So here we have a picture of the king marked by God, carrying divine authority and the spirit without measure. And this is where it becomes personal for you and for me. Because the word Christian comes from the Greek word Christianos, which means belonging to Christ or a follower of the anointed one. So a Christian is not just someone who believes in Jesus. A Christian is someone who belongs to the anointed one and is called to live under that authority and empowerment. So when Christians confess Christ over a situation or over our lives, we are declaring that He breaks every yoke. He carries unlimited capacity and authority. He empowers you supernaturally. He releases anointing for your calling and He commissions you for His kingdom purpose. Now, the sad truth is that many Christians live saved, but not empowered. They live forgiven, but not functioning in the full authority and the anointing that God has in store for you. But when you speak Christ, something shifts. Strength replaces weakness. Authority confronts oppression, and purpose rises over confusion. And the greatest authority is released when you combine or put together these two names, Jesus Christ. Because if we preach Jesus without Christ, we stop at forgiveness. If we preach Christ without Jesus, we forget grace. But Scripture never separates the two names. Together, Jesus Christ means the Savior who restores and the King who empowers. Now watch what happens when the church understands this. We're going to look at Acts chapter 3, starting from verse 6. It says that Peter said to the lame man, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And verse 7 tells us, immediately the lame man's feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, standing up, walking, he entered the temple with the apostles, walking, leaping, and praising God. God's power is going to flow through you, my brothers and sisters. So get ready to be a vessel for His glory. Amen. Now, Peter didn't negotiate. He didn't hesitate. He didn't pray a long prayer. He spoke the name by faith with authority, and heaven responded to that declaration. The power wasn't in Peter. It was in the name he carried. And so when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, he was releasing kingdom authority into that situation. Because no other name saves and anoints, no other name heals and commissions, no other name comforts and commands. And that's why we speak His name. Because when the two names come together, heaven responds, darkness retreats, and lives are changed. But before we talk about what His name can do, we must also understand how His name comes to us. And so I want to look at with you very quickly five dimensions of the name of Jesus Christ. The first dimension is this, that the name that meets me where I am. There are names you must rise up to meet, performance-based names, expectation-based names, reputation-dependent names. But the name of Jesus is different. You don't climb up to Him. He comes down to you. That is incarnation. God with us, God for us, God among us. And so when Mary collapsed at His feet in grief, when Peter crumbled over his failure, when the leper cried out from a distance, when the thief on the cross gasped his last breath, Jesus didn't wait for them to recover and what's next. He came close. In fact, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we have been cleaned up, not after we have performed something, but in the very moment when all these stories and the people fell. When you speak Jesus, you're not calling a distant God. You're calling the one who steps into your sorrow, who sits with you in silence and stands in your storm. Because His name meets us before the message even starts. But the name of Jesus that meets me in my weakness doesn't leave me stuck in it as well. And so that's why we come to the second dimension, the name that moves what I cannot move. Because there are moments in our lives when strategy doesn't work anymore, when there's no encouragement that will help and no effort is enough. That's a situation where the wall is thicker than your willpower, the fear is louder than your confidence, and the battle is bigger than your wisdom. But there's a name heaven responds to. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, of those under the earth. Not some knees, but every knee, visible knees, invisible knees, spiritual knees, emotional knees, mental knees, generational knees. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. And so when I speak Jesus, I'm not shouting into the air. I'm not shouting at darkness. I'm standing under the authority of the King. That's where fear bows, shame bows, addiction bows, nightmares and tormenting thoughts bow at the name of Jesus. Not because I'm strong, but because His name conquers all. Amen. So His name not only moves what I cannot move on the outside, it also begins to heal what I cannot fix on the inside. We come to the third dimension, the name that mends what is broken. A beautiful verse in Psalm 147, verse 3. It says that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You see, some of the deepest wounds that we ever go through, they bleed quietly. A disappointment that hardened your heart, a betrayal that reshaped how you define trust, a loss that you went through that you avoided now because of the hurt that is too, you refuse or find it very hard to face. When you speak Jesus, you're not hiding that wound or that hurt. You're inviting the healer into it. He reaches where counseling cannot reach. He restores what time alone cannot fix. He heals fractures that you don't even know were there. His name does not shame your brokenness. In fact, His name wraps it, lifts it up, heals it, and rebuilds it for you. I love this quote that ministered to me often. It says this, "I am not too broken for His name, but His name is perfect for my brokenness. I am not too broken for His name, but His name is perfect for my brokenness." He is there with you, for you, and among you. Now, here's a blind spot that many miss, because some come only to Jesus who comforts, but they forget Christ who commissions. Because Jesus restores, but Christ releases us. So healing is never the end of the story. God doesn't just restore us, but He refines us as well. So we come to the fourth dimension, the name that marks how I live. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 says that you are our epistle, living letters, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. You see, before people read the Bible, most of the time they read you and they read our lives. So it's not enough to just shout His name in worship if we don't carry His name into our daily lives, into our responses, into our decisions, into our conversations, and even into our attitudes, the way we treat people, the way we respond to people. You see, I remember the day I registered my third child, registered my third child's birth certificate at the hospital. They have a service to do that, the registration process. And the lady at the counter was helping me fill in the details on her computer. So she asked me one question after another question, and I answered confidently, "Sir, can I have your name?" "Kevin Cole." "Can I have an IC number? I gave her my IC number. "Can I have a contact number?" I gave her my contact number. "Relationship to the child?" "Father." And then she asked the next question, and when I heard the next question, I froze. I froze in front of her, and she stopped. Pause moment. You see, the day before, I met this lame lady, and I was arguing with her, sort of banging table. I was impatient, I was unkind, I was frustrated because the service at the hospital was really not so good compared to the price that I have to pay. Sounds familiar? She got me really upset when she said that word, "Sir, I hear you, I will let the management know." Now, those of you in the service industry, you will know, when we say we'll let the management know, chances are you won't. You just want to say, "Move along, move along." So I was really upset. Come back to the next day. Now, she was waiting, "Sir." She was waiting for my reply to her question. So you'd be wondering, what is that question that froze, that I froze? That question is this: "What is your occupation?" I couldn't bring myself to say, "Pastor." It was so bad that moment, I choose to forget, erase from my memory. So I really forgot what I replied her. But I went on to, yeah. So to that lady, if you're here today or you're watching online, I apologize. I'm sorry. Chesong Amida. That moment taught me something important. You can speak all you want about Jesus in church, but you represent Him everywhere. You don't just speak His name, you live His name. His name becomes our identity, but also becomes our assignment where He has placed us. So here's the question: is the Jesus you speak the same Jesus you obey? Or is it a different Jesus in church, at home, in office, and elsewhere? It should be the same Jesus. And when His name marks how we live, it must also shape where He sent us to. That comes to the fifth dimension, the name that must be known to the world. Because the name that reached me, restored me, rescued me, carried me, was never meant to stop with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a familiar passage. It says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you receive power from on high, you will be my witnesses, telling people about Jesus everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The name that saved you is the name that the world desperately they're looking for. Because this generation is drowning in anxiety, wrestling with identity and aching with loneliness and emptiness. They don't need another trend. They don't need another philosophy. They need a name strong enough to anchor their soul. Your home needs you. Your home needs that name. Your workplace needs that name. Your children need that name. Your friends need that name. They may not say it, but they need it. You're not merely speaking Jesus into the atmosphere. You're speaking Jesus into destinies, that people that God has placed in your lives. Just last Monday, after a simple lunch, I had the joy and privilege of leading this 82-year-old uncle to the Lord, to Christ, and to pray the sinner's prayer with him. Now, why am I sharing this? I'm preparing you because salvation is coming. It's not slowing down, but it's accelerating, especially in our church. People are getting saved every week. I'm hearing testimonies of being touched. Even that this morning I shared with you, the lady from the TCM shop came over to our service at Orchard and she was just weeping because God is doing something in her life. And I was grateful that Monday, I was grateful that I came ready. Because one time I asked a church member, why don't you learn driving? And his reply really upset me. Because I don't have a car, so why do I get a license? Why do I learn driving? I said, brother, if you don't get a driving license, your car will never come. Because you don't wait until the moment you have a car, then you learn drive. It's too late. You get ready and prepare before that moment arrives. Amen? In the same way, you don't wait until for evangelism moment, wherever you are, then you learn how to lead people to Christ. Then you learn how to pray the sinner's prayer with that person. You prepare now because souls are coming in. Otherwise, when that moment comes, or like Pastor Young's the bird moment, when that moment comes, you will miss it and you'll regret it because you will not prepare. You will not ready. So church, I'm preparing you. Go back, recite the Lord's Prayer, recite the sinner's prayer, and learn how to lead people to Christ. Amen. Because the name of Jesus Christ is not just our refuge, it's our commission as well. So ask the Lord this week, where are you sending me your name? Where are you sending your name through me into? Workplace, homes, even in holidays, on the plane, in the taxi, wherever you go, in the nations. Because the name that saved me is the name that we are sent to carry. Now everything that we talk about so far today is powerful, it is good, the name, the authority, and the anointing. But it all comes down to this one question. Do you know Him? Not about Him, not how to say His name, but do you really know Him? Because that is the very same question that Satan is asking you every single day. He's waiting for that opportunity to ask you every single day. You see, in the Bible, before Jesus ever preached a sermon, before He healed the sick, before He called a disciple, before the crowds ever gathered around Him, He was led into a confrontation, not with people, but with the devil himself. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that the enemy brought Jesus to an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him the kingdoms of the world, their splendor, their glory, and everything humanity chases, envies, sacrifice for, worships. And then He whispered to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. All these things I will give you if you will bow down, fall down before me and worship me. The temptation was never about the kingdoms. The temptation was about worship. Because the devil understands something that many believers forget. Worship determines authority. Whoever that receives your worship, whoever that you receives your surrender, that will gain influence over your life. That's why when God calls you to surrender to Him, He's not ignoring your pain. He's not ignoring your struggles. He's seeing beyond that. He knows that He's not trying to take something from you, but He's preparing to release the authority through you. Amen. And when you understand this, surrender is not humiliation. Surrender is divine alignment. Because who you bow to determines what you stand over. So in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus' response was instant. No arguing, no reasoning. He said in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 4, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Jesus shut hell down with the word and with worship. So here's the truth we must not miss. Anyone can say the name of Jesus, but not everyone knows him. The devil isn't afraid of people who casually say Jesus. Demons are not intimidated by Christians who treat his name like a magic formula. He only trembles when the one speaking his name knows him, surrenders to him, loves him, and worships him. Because authority doesn't come from vocabulary, authority flows from relationship. And that's why the enemy fights your worship. He doesn't care who you sing to, he only cares who you bow down to. Make no mistake, the enemy is after your worship, and he's still offering the same lie to people today. All these things I will give you if you just bow down and worship me. In our today's world, the offer hasn't changed. Only the packaging has. Because mammon will say, let your worth come from wealth. Materialism says, buy your own way into identity. Pride says, build your tower, make your name great. Arrogance says, you don't need God, you alone, you are enough. Fear says, let anxiety be your master. Popularity says, let the crowd decide your value. And the cancel culture says, worship opinions and not truth. Different voices, but same agenda. Every one of them is after that one thing, your worship. So today, we make a choice. Today, we speak Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that enthrones Christ in his rightful place and dethrones every subtle idol in our hearts. We don't want to just know about him. We want to walk with him. We want relationship, not religion. We want his presence, not just his blessings. You see, your career can be a blessing. It is a blessing, but it cannot be your Lord. Your goals matter to God, even as they matter to you, but they cannot be your God. And your family is precious, but they cannot be your idol. Because good things become dangerous things when they become the ultimate thing. In fact, your priority is your prophecy, because where your worship goes, your life follows. But here's the unchanging truth. Who you worship, you become. When you worship success, you become restless. When you worship people, you become insecure. When you worship self, you become empty. But when you worship Jesus, you become more and more like him. So why do I speak Jesus? Because every name that fails me, his name meets me. When my strength collapses, his name moves me. When my heart is broken, his name mends me. When the world tries to redefine me and put me to one corner, push me to one corner, his name marks me. And when he has changed me, his name must be made known through me. So today, some of you need to speak that name again, not out of routine, not out of religiosity, but because revelation has awakened your faith again. When you speak Jesus, you're not calling a religious phrase. You're calling a person. The one who saves, restores, redeems, delivers, strengthens, and reigns in you. So don't just say his name, submit to it. Don't just declare his name, depend on it. Don't just proclaim his name, live it out in your life. And when his name becomes our confession, becomes our covering, and becomes our commission, the world won't just hear his name spoken over your life. They will see Jesus revealed in you and through you. Amen. Shall we all stand in the presence of God as I invite the band to come? We want to just focus on the Lord this morning. It's such a precious moment. What a wonderful privilege to be able to say and speak the name of Jesus in our midst. This week, many names may have been spoken over you. Fear, stress, anxiety, depression, confusion, exhaustion for some, addiction. But today we speak Jesus over your fears, over your battles, over your family, your children, over your health, and even your future and your calling. If today your heart is weary, speak Jesus. If your mind is heavy, speak Jesus. If your spirit feels faint, speak Jesus. If your family needs a breakthrough, speak Jesus. Even if you've been silent for some of us for too long, we have to learn to speak Jesus, because a new sound is coming to us in a new season that God is bringing us into. And so with all eyes closed and every head bowed, before we close this service, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord, that even as you hear the word of God coming forth, there's a sense of drawing in your hearts to the Lord. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, if that is you this morning in this service, and you say, Lord, I want to respond to you, mark me. I know you meet me. I know you move me. I know you have mend my broken heart. But I want this morning for you to mark me for the calling and the purpose that you have for me. We're coming to the end of 2025. We're going to start 2026. But 2026 can start even now because preparation has already begun for you. And so you're here this morning in this service. You want to respond to the Lord and say, Lord, I am the one. Mark me. If that is you, I want to encourage you to lift up your hands. When I see the hand, I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the hands that are lifted up in this place, right across the whole auditorium. Lord, we pray, mark those hands that have lifted up, Lord. Let 2026 be a brand new season for them, even as a new season for our church. God, that their calling, their purpose, bring them into alignment into what you have for them, Lord. Lord, make a way where there seems to be no way. I speak breakthrough in your situation. I speak hope in your situation. I speak unity and harmony in your home, in your office, wherever God has placed you, that where you are, you will shift the atmosphere, because now you realize that you're not just saying a name, you're releasing the kingdom of God. You're saying into the situation, to your home, the kingdom of God has arrived. And when you release that name, Jesus is going to be magnified, because you're not just known to be spoken over it. The name of Jesus will be revealed in that situation. Father, we thank you for the hands that are lifted up, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in a time of worship. I speak Jesus. Let's worship God together.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Declare it now.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like fire. Just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the
today's service will not be complete without giving those of us who have never received Jesus into our hearts. You have never surrendered your life to the Lord as your Savior and as your Lord. This is the first time you're hearing about Jesus, or you've been far away from God and you want to come back to Him, because now you realize the name of Jesus is more than just what is the word spoken over my lip. It's the name that I live in, what I stand for. Again, with all eyes closed, looking to the Lord. If that is you this morning, lift up your hands and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior in my heart. Lift up your hands. When I see that hand, I will pray for you. Hallelujah. Is there anyone in this house? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For the rest of us, just lift up our hands. Let's worship the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Take a few more moments and ask the Lord to seal His word in our hearts. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Father, I speak strength over your people. Lord, I speak the extra mile, Lord, that they'll be able to not just walk, but they will be able to run with the vision that you've placed in their hearts, Lord. Give them strength, supernatural strength in their hearts, in their bodies, spiritually and physically, to do all that you've placed in their hearts to do. Thank you for a new day, Lord, for Cornerstone. Thank you, Lord, that you're, even as you're releasing a new sound in the house, you're releasing a new sound over each one of us, Lord. And I pray, God, that their sound will be loud, Lord, the roaring of resurrection power over them, the roaring of the kingdom of God over their lives, Lord, that wherever they are, God, that it will shift the atmosphere for your glory, God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming, for ministering to us, Lord. Even as your people has blessed you, Lord, we ask now that you bless your people this day. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you and grant you His peace. And so may the Lord put His name on you. The blessings of God the Father, the blessings of God the Son, the blessings of God the Holy Spirit be with you and abide in you now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's give God praise one more time. He is worthy of all our praise and glory.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.